Open in your Bibles. You can mark them if you can. A couple of places. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Amen? 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. We're going to go to Isaiah and Ezekiel as well. You might want to write those down. And then if you can get to them, and I should have given them to you sooner. Amen? You're going to be blessed by this series that we're beginning here today. We're going to be talking about the glory of God. What it is. What happens when it manifests, how we can cooperate with the manifestation of God's glory. God's glory is about to be poured out on Cape Cod, unlike any other time in the history of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Amen? And I'm not just decreeing that by faith. I'm telling you that out of my spirit. Amen? There is about to be a visitation of the Spirit of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God on Cape Cod, and you're going to be right in the middle of it. Amen? Unfortunately, some folks are going to miss it. They're going to sit right here on Cape Cod, live right here on Cape Cod, and it's going to go right over their heads. They're not even going to understand what's occurring. Amen? But you will understand. Because we're going to make a point of bringing understanding to you from God's Word. You'll know what's happening, and you'll flow with what's happening. Say, I'll know, and I'll flow. It is so, because I say it is so. Now, you've marked your Bibles. Have you found 2 Chronicles? Have you found Isaiah? Have you found Ezekiel? Can you find Exodus on top of that? Amen. You can do it. You know where these books are in the Old Testament. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's see here. Hallelujah. Everybody have a Bible? Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody have a Bible? You find your places? Some of them you'll find. Some of them you'll miss. Write them down. It's okay. You'll get them. You can look at them when you get home. Amen. I'm going to do something I don't normally do. At least I think I am. I'm going to try to stand here at the pulpit and teach this morning. Amen. Fat chance, somebody's thinking. Amen? Hallelujah. I start off teaching, I end up preaching. Amen? I call it preaching. We're going to go through some scriptures. We're going to lay some groundwork. God wants to come into our midst and not be driven off. Amen? When the glory of God manifests, people get healed. Amen? The supernatural occurs. I am acquainted with the miracles and the glory of God. Amen? My life, as you know, is a miracle. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more this morning, because when I was delivered from drug and alcohol addiction almost 30 years ago, now I'm coming up on 29, 30 years, amen? That was a supernatural manifestation of God's glory when I was slain in the Spirit in my living room at 14 Sunnyside Road, Woburn, Massachusetts, 01801. For 3 days, I lay in my living room slain by the power of God, an alcohol and a drug addict. When I woke up, I was no longer an addict. That is a supernatural testimony. Amen. Are you there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5? Can you find that right there? Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 5. Let's just read. We'll start right here. And we're going to move quickly through some scriptures. I'm just going to read them, comment on them. And then I'm going to preach to you a little bit. Amen. It came to pass in verse 13... This is going to be a good series. You aren't going to want to miss any of this. Amen? How does faith come? The more you hear about the glory of God, the more the glory will manifest in your life. Amen? But when you don't come to church to hear about the glory, you won't be able to participate in the glory because you won't be developing faith for the glory. Amen? Thomas didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead because he skipped church the first Sunday Jesus appeared. That was his biggest problem. He skipped church that Sunday, and Jesus appeared. He missed a visitation of Jesus because he skipped church. While he heard Jesus appeared, he didn't miss the next Sunday. He was there, and Jesus came and appeared to him and corrected him. Amen. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Come to church and get corrected? Yes. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we're talking about miracles and God's glory. In verse 13, it says, it came to pass... This is the completion of Solomon's temple was built, and they're moving in there now to worship God. as the trumpeters and singers were as one, such as we were this morning as we sang, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking. Please say praising and thanking. The Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good." I'll tell you what that word is. They actually said, "For He is beautiful, bountiful, fair, gracious, loving, ready to bless, and a sweet provider." That's what that word says in the Hebrew. Amen? That's what God is. In His mercy, His kindness, His beauty, and His pity endures forever. God's gotten a bum rap by religion. God is not a God of wrath. He's a good God, and He loves us, and He wants to bless us. But He doesn't put up with a bunch of hooey either. Amen? Hallelujah. He blesses the obedient. The Bible says, the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. God is good. His mercy endures forever, they said. That then the house was filled with a cloud. You see that? The glory of God manifested as a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. The presence of God was so strong it knocked them down, for the glory of the Lord had filled that place. Amen. Had filled the house of God. Now, I want you to know this morning, there is a glory realm. David said in Psalm 73:24, he said, "For Thou, O Lord, will guide me, and afterward receive me into glory." David said, "You'll guide me through this life, and after this life, you'll receive me into glory." There's a glory realm. There's a glory realm. And it frequently, and will even more frequently, manifest itself in this realm that we live in. Did you hear that? There is a glory realm, and it is the will of God to manifest that glory realm in this realm that we live in. That's Psalm 73:24. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting of believers where the glory of God has manifested, like we just read in 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, where the glory of God comes in so strong people can't even stand up. I've been in those kinds of services. I've seen the glory. I've been in the presence of the glory. I'll tell you one example. I was invited to minister in a regional ministers meeting up in Burlington, Vermont, a couple of years back now, a worldwide denomination. They're all over the world. And I was asked to be a special speaker at the bishop's prayer breakfast. And I accepted the opportunity because I wanted to reach out to that particular denomination and be a blessing to them. And the night before that occurred, I was standing on the platform. There were hundreds of people in the auditorium. It was at St. Michael's College in their Performing Arts Center. And there were hundreds of people present in that service. And I was sitting on the platform with probably 24 other ministers of the gospel, all lined up in chairs, showing us off. Amen. And the bishop of this particular denomination got up and began to minister to the people concerning finances. And he started doing and saying things that were biblically wrong, that were unethical, immoral, just wrong things, putting pressure on people to give into the offering. And as he would preach and put pressure on people to give into the offering, the keyboard player was banging on the keyboard. The drummer was banging on, doing drum rolls and cymbal crashes with every good point he thought the bishop made. And I'm standing up there thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself involved in? What in the world? I'm just standing up here. We're all standing up, the minister's standing up. While that man stood at the pulpit in his big robe, putting wrong pressure on people to give more, give more, give more, give until it hurts, make it hurt, squeak and squeak and give and sacrifice. All of a sudden, the glory of God came into that room, like we just read in 2 Chronicles 5. The cloud of God's glory, the vapor smoke, the semi-transparent emerald cloud of God's glory came in that room. I saw it with my physical eyes and filled half of that room. Hovered over everyone on the right side of that room as I looked at them. It was probably the biggest manifestation of the glory cloud I had ever seen. And as I'm standing there looking at it, wondering what in the world is the glory doing in the middle of this mess? This man's unbiblical preaching, immoral pressure being put on people to give. That same glory that moved in from the right side of the room and covered half the room, half the people, turned around and went right back over to the wall, in through the wall, and left that room. Those people were praising God as the bishop wrongly preached another gospel to them. God so wanted to bless those people. His glory moved right into that room. But that minister drove him out, grieved him, and drove him right back out of that room. I've never seen anything like that in all my 28 years of serving the Lord. And I've had manifestations of God's glory. And I'm going to talk about a little bit more of it this morning. Listen, we can cause the glory to come. We can cause the glory to go. Amen? To this day, I can't understand why God would manifest Himself in such a strong, visible way in that room, other than He wanted to bless those people, but the leader who was in sin and drove the manifest presence. You know, the glory is always symbolic in the Scripture and in real life, lacking a better way to say it, amen? It's always an indication, it's always a sign that God is present. And when God is present, miracles happen. God was present in that room, but no miracles happened. Because the unbelief and the disobedience of that leader drove him right out of that room. Oh, if you could only have seen it. Why did God let me see it? Probably so I could come and teach you about it. Amen? I've had tremendous manifestations of God's glory in my life. Amen? Those of you who know something about me know that. Amen? God wants to come into our midst. The supernatural comes into our midst when God comes into our midst. People get healed. Their needs are met supernaturally. Amen? We need to learn to come to church and hush up and hook up and grow up and learn how to flow with God's glory. Anybody in here want to see manifest God's power manifest in your life? God wants to manifest His power in your life. Amen? It's not a magic show. It's all about coming together and worshiping God, honoring God. Amen? No, God's man of the hour. It's not about me. It's not about the preacher. It's about God. It's about honoring God, praising God, worshiping God for His goodness, and fully expecting and anticipating His goodness to be manifest in our midst. He wants to do it. He wants to bless you. Listen, we're all power seekers. That's why we're here today. That's why we pray. We're power seekers. Anybody in this room who says, I'm satisfied with the power that I've seen God manifest in my life is a liar. Amen? But there's no liars here. We all want more power. We're all created in the image and in the likeness of God. God is the God of power. We're His children. He's our Father. We desire to be like Him. We want more power. And God wants to manifest that power in your life today. Are you tired of people making excuses for why there's no power of God moving in the earth? Amen? I don't want to talk about why God's not moving. I want to talk about how to get Him to move. And so that's why we've gone into this glory series. Amen. We're going to start out today talking about what the Bible's talking about when it refers to the glory of God. Now, I gave you some Old Testament books of the Bible to turn to because those are the most difficult ones to get to. We're going to come back to them. You keep them marked in your Bible. But I'm going to ask you to jump up to the book of Romans in the New Testament as we start now. The book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. Hallelujah. When we come to obey Him and to glorify Him, we'll be able to usher in great manifestations of God's glory, just like Solomon's temple right here in 2 Chronicles 5. Amen. If we come here to church services just wondering what's going on, that's all we're going to get. We're going to leave here wondering what's going on. We come in looking to see what the pastor might be doing wrong or what that church might be doing wrong. You're going to find something wrong. Amen? Guaranteed. Amen? I'm just a human being. This isn't a perfect church. We're not a The church, you know, there is no perfect church. The church is not a museum for perfect saints. The church is a hospital where the sick come to be helped and blessed by the glory of God. Amen? If you're looking for a perfect church, you came looking for a perfect church, well, guess what? It ain't perfect anymore because you showed up. There's nobody in here perfect, including me. There's one perfect man, that's the man Jesus Christ. Amen? So let me just tell you that right out of the starting gate. You don't want to look to me. Amen? You want to look to Jesus during this series. You want to look toward the Holy Spirit during this series. He will manifest in your life if only you will believe. Amen? We're going to start out simple and get into some deeper teaching as the series progresses. Amen? The more we learn about God's glory, the more we'll see God's miracle-producing power. Amen? Are you there in Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. Look what Paul said in verse 4. He said, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." We're buried with Jesus by baptism into death. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." What I would like for you to see there is that Paul said, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was raised from the dead by the what? By the glory of the Father. Jesus was raised from the dead by God's glory. Amen? But if you'll jump over there to Romans chapter 8, I'd like to show you another most amazing revelation. Amen? Romans chapter 8. Say amen when you're there. Look at verse 11. It says, But if the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now it says, the Spirit of Him, God, that raised up Jesus from the dead. The Bible says that, see, that's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says right here in Romans 8:11, the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the dead. But we just read over there in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that the glory of God rose Jesus from the dead. So which is it? Did God's glory raise Jesus from the dead? Or did His Holy Spirit raise Jesus from the dead? Is Paul contradicting himself? The Bible never contradicts itself. Amen? The glory that rose Jesus from the dead is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit and the glory are one and the same. When the glory is in manifestation, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit in operation. The glory and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. So what is the glory? It's the person of the Holy Spirit in demonstration. That's what the glory is. Can you see that? The Holy Spirit and the glory are one and the same. Now you can jump all the way back to the book of Exodus chapter 33 if you would. Told you we're going to look at some scriptures here this morning. Amen. You can do this. These are easy books to find. Amen. Hallelujah. You go on back. Genesis, Exodus. It's the second book of the Bible. We're talking about the glory of God, and it's pretty apparent that the glory of God and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. Throughout both Testaments, we find examples of God revealing His glory to man by the power of the Holy Spirit. God reveals His glory to man by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is a person? He's not a little wisp. He's not an impersonal force. He is a person, the Bible reveals. He has a spirit body just like God has a spirit body. He has a mind, a will, intellect, and emotions. In John chapter 16, in two verses of Scripture, I believe it's around 13 and 14, you just write it down, you don't want to turn there, you're going to Exodus 33. 10 times, Jesus used a masculine personal pronoun in referring to the Holy Spirit when He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will not speak of Himself. He will speak of Me. He will show you what's Mine, and He will always glorify Me. 10 times He called the Holy Spirit what? He, with a capital H. The Holy Spirit is not an it, and we should never call Him an it. Barbara's not an it. I never refer to her as it. Amen? It's her, Sister Barbara, my wife, baby doll, Butterbean. But it's never it. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everyone. Did you say good morning to it today? We would never do that, would we? We should never do it with the Holy Spirit. He is the person. And when the glory is in manifestation, it's the person of the Holy Spirit in manifestation. Oh, I've seen the glory. I'm going to tell you more about it this morning. I've experienced the glory. I'm going to tell you more about it. Look right here in Exodus chapter 33. Yeah, 33, is that where I asked you to go? Are you there? And the Lord said to Moses in verse 17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Moses had just asked God to prove to him, Moses, that God wouldn't leave them. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, Moses said to God, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Notice what Moses said. I beseech thee, show me thy what? Glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Okay, you get that? And God said to Moses, okay, I will make all my, what? Goodness pass before thee. Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, done deal. I will show you my goodness. God's glory is God's goodness. The Holy Spirit is a manifestation of God's goodness. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, we'd all be dead and in hell right now. I said, if it were not for the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives on the inside of us, puts us in union with Almighty God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can't make too much of a deal out of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's one Savior between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. Amen? But everything God does for you in Christ, He does by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we taught that lesson at the beginning of this miracle series. It's over there on the table. Miracles and the Holy Spirit. And we took you through the life and ministry of Jesus and showed you how dependent Jesus Christ was on the person of the Holy Spirit while He was here. The Holy Spirit sent Him. The Holy Spirit put Him in the Virgin's womb. The Holy Spirit birthed Him into this earth. The Holy Spirit taught Him as a child. The Holy Spirit anointed Him to heal the sick. The Holy Spirit anointed Him to cast out unclean spirits. The Holy Spirit anointed Him to go to the cross with the proper attitude. And the Holy Spirit, or the glory of God, as we just read, rose Him from the dead. If He was that dependent on the Holy Spirit, how much more are we dependent on the Holy Spirit? Some people get offended when you minister on the Holy Spirit and they say, talk about Jesus. And I talk about Jesus. But Jesus talked about the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to follow His example. Amen? So, God's glory is the Holy Spirit. God's glory is His goodness. Whenever the Holy Spirit's in manifestation, it's always a manifestation of God's goodness. He is a good God. A good God. Go to Exodus chapter 40, if you would. Amen? He's not a wrathful God. He's not a moody, white-robed, puritanical monster hanging over the balcony of heaven looking to get you. Amen? If God was going to get you, He'd have gotten you by now. Did you go in Exodus 40? If God was going to get you, He'd have gotten you by now, because you're not that smart and He's not that stupid. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Exodus chapter 40. Hallelujah. Let's pick it up in verse 33. Moses had just completed the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And he read up in verse 33. He ran up the court round about the tabernacle. It just means he put a fence around it and around the altar. And he set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud, that's the glory of God, covered the tent of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Sometimes, when the glory of God's in manifestation, it'll knock you right down. Amen? It'll knock you right down. It's impossible at times to stand up in the presence of the glory. Moses couldn't get in there, it was so thick. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Let me just tell you what's happening here, may I? He finished building the tabernacle, the portable tabernacle. It was a tent tabernacle, and God's glory hovered over it. His goodness, the Holy Spirit, hovered over it. And whenever that cloud moved, see, this is Israel in the wilderness now, 6.5 million people walking around the wilderness. When that cloud would move off that tent, it meant God was saying, pack up the tent and follow the cloud. Go with the cloud. And when the cloud would stop, 40, 60, 80 miles away, and hover right there, it was God saying, set up the tabernacle underneath the cloud and stay here until I move it again. And that's how he guided them through the wilderness. Amen. A cloud by day, and it manifested as fire by night. Amen. But the glory can manifest as a cloud. I've seen it on numerous occasions in my life. One I just described to you up there at St. Michael's College in the Performing Arts Center. And that man so grieved the precious goodness of God, the Holy Spirit of God. That cloud, that semi-transparent, emerald, beautiful cloud indicating the presence of God is here, was literally run off by a man who all he could think about was money, his own personal and ministry needs and not the needs of those people. He so grieved God, that cloud that I witnessed with my physical eyes, I literally saw it, went right back into that wall and left even as it came. Hallelujah. We can grieve God, but we can also honor God and praise God and worship God in His presence. Will come into our presence and we will see the supernatural occur. You get a hold of God's glory and things stop happening to you and start happening for you. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Let's go. We could keep on reading about the glory cloud here, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. I just wanted you to see that the glory came in the form of a visible cloud. Just like we read back there in 2 Chronicles 5 at Solomon's temple. By the way, there was 650 years difference between the tabernacle in the wilderness that we just read of and Solomon's temple that we had read of previously. But it was the same cloud, the same glory. The same glory that I saw come into that performing arts center at St. Michael's College in Burlington, Vermont, that same glory that came into that room was the same glory that led Israel through the wilderness. God doesn't have multiple forms of glory. He's got glory. And it manifests when people have needs and reach out by faith. And it dissipates and disappears when people grieve Him. It's very easy to grieve the Spirit of God. You know, strife grieves the Spirit of God. Gossiping grieves the Spirit of God. Busybody grieves the Spirit of God. Run God off quicker than anything I can think of. Gossip, busybody, strife, talebearers, backbiting. It grieves the Spirit of God. He'll let you do it if that's what you want to do, but you'll block the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Where are you? Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. We're talking about different ways the glory manifests. Amen. And again, when it manifests, it's always a symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence. I have seen that cloud. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, he was a wicked king, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up in his train. That's his robe, the trail of his robe. Literally filled the temple. Isaiah saw him. Amen. Look at verse 4. And the posts of the door to the temple moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with what? Here's the glory manifesting as smoke. The word is actually vapor. This is the first time that the glory of God manifests as vapor. You can see that vapor. You can see that vapor. When God decides you're going to see it, you will see it. And when you do, you'll know what it is because we're studying the glory. Amen? First time it appears as vapor in the Bible. Last time it appears as vapor in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 15. But it can appear as a cloud, as smoke, as vapor. Amen? And when you see it, it's not all about the show. It's not for entertainment's sake. When you see it, you can know He's present, and that's the time to release your faith. Amen? That's the time to expect the supernatural. We will see the glory in these meetings. I said we will see the glory in these meetings. Amen? You know, it's possible for the glory to come and manifest itself in our midst and some of us not see it because we don't believe. You have to believe. You have to expect. Amen? You're a moral free agent. God's not going to get you involved in something you don't want to get involved with. But if you do want to get involved, He'll jump over a million others who are in unbelief just to get to you because you believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen? So you see it as smoke. Now, you can go to the book of Ezekiel. It's three books away from Isaiah. I think you can find it. Amen? We're just looking at different manifestations of the glory. They're all signs of God's actual presence. It all means God's in the house, baby. Amen? Hallelujah. When the glory is in manifestation, it means the Holy Spirit's here. It means the Holy Spirit is here. I have seen that glory. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it a little bit more today. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a glory miracle. Amen. I give glory to God for it. I'm not boasting. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel saw the glory. Look at verse 3. Is everybody there? We're reading through these quickly, I know, but you write them down. They'll bless you. You go back and study them in your own time. Amen. Just go back and read the glory scriptures. Watch what happens. Amen. Verse 3, the cherubims, that means angels, stood on the right side of the house of the Lord, the temple, when the man went in. He was a man who was to mock people for God. We won't go into that. And the cloud, the what? The cloud filled the inner court of the temple. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the angel. It actually came off the angel and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the what? The brightness of the Lord's glory. Now here's the glory manifesting as a not just a cloud, but a bright cloud. And it actually says a glistening cloud, an illuminated cloud, and a brilliant cloud when you look it up. If you can look up Hebrew words on your computer like I can on my computer Bible, I just click on the word. It gives me the Hebrew definition of that word. So here in the temple, Ezekiel saw the glory of God manifest as a glittering, illuminating, brilliant cloud. I've seen the glory illuminated brilliantly and glistening. And I'm going to tell you about that today. Amen? But not right now. We're going to look at some more scripture first, amen? We're building a foundation. As you go back to the New Testament, you Bible students, to Luke chapter 9. Don't you love when you come to church and you give an opportunity, use your own Bible? Amen? Study your own Bible, learn your own Bible. Luke chapter 9, if you would please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9, I'll give you a minute to get there. Anybody need a little more time? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold the horse till I get on. Are you there? These are easy books to find. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Verse 28, it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and he went up to a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, look what happens here. This is what is known as the transfiguration. Amen. As he prayed, Jesus, the fashion of his countenance, that's a reference to his body, was altered. The word is metamorpho. It's the word we get our word, metamorphosis. Like a pupa turns into a butterfly. He was metamorphosized. He changed supernaturally from one thing to another. The fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment became white and glistening. That's the glory. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elisha. You see what happened? They went into the glory realm. There is a glory realm and we can tap into it. Suddenly Moses and Elisha came out of that glory cloud, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They were encouraging Jesus about laying down his life to die for us. In this appearance, amen, in this glory manifestation. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Now they didn't just fall asleep. It says that they weighed under a spiritual stupor. You know what that is? Being slain in the spirit. They fell under the power of God. They just couldn't. You just, sometimes it's so strong you can't stand up in it. I've been in that cloud. Amen? I've been in that cloud. They were weighed under heavy in a spiritual stupor. Amen. Slain in the spirit. And when they finally did come to, they saw his glory in the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, the two men, Peter began babbling nonsensically. He's drunk in the spirit. He didn't know what he was saying. He said, Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles or put up three tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elias, and we'll just all stay here together. Now, that's what drunk men do. He's drunk in the spirit and he's not making any sense. He thought, this is great. Let's stay up here. I won't go down back in that stinking valley full of problems anymore. Let's stay here. You, me, Moses, and Elijah. He's in dream world. Amen. Hallelujah. And while he thus spoke, there came a cloud that overshadowed them. It actually says they were overshadowed in an envelope of brilliancy. They were overshadowed by an envelope of brilliancy, a brilliant cloud. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice from the cloud, and it said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Now here the glory caused Jesus' face and clothing, his whole body, to become white and glistening. So we see that the glory can also manifest as a white glistening cloud. If you would, in your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 22. Everybody in here, you know the story of the Apostle Paul. You're going to Acts 22 as I talk to you about Acts chapter 9. You're going to 22, I'm going to talk to you about Acts chapter 9. Amen? Remember, Paul was the persecutor of the church, the greatest persecutor the church had ever known. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest and persecute and even execute believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that? He was on the road to Damascus on his high horse, and he got hit with a light that knocked him to the ground. That's in Acts chapter 9, where Jesus interfered, and he said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou who? Lord. He knew suddenly who he was dealing with. And Paul was blinded by that for 3 days. Here he is in Jerusalem giving the testimony of that blinding light that occurred in Acts 9 and in Acts 22:11. We're just looking at scriptures referring to the glory to make sure we all get on the same page as we go into deeper teaching. Amen? He said, testifying in Jerusalem, in verse 11 of Acts 22, he said, when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. He said, I couldn't see because of the glory of that light. That word light is luminousness and firelight. He said, I was literally blinded by a holy fire, and I couldn't see as a result of it. For how many days? 3 days. Acts chapter 9 says, okay? You got your Amplified Bible open there, Barbara? Acts chapter 22, verse 11. Let me just read it to you real quick in verse 11, amen? Acts chapter 22, verse 11. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Just getting you on the same page here. I told you there's going to be some teaching here today, amen? 22:11. Here's what he said. He said, I could not see because of the dazzling, glorious intensity of the brightness of that light. I could not see because of the dazzling, glorious intensity of the brightness of that light. I've been in that dazzling intensity, bright light, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it today, but not right now. We're going to look at some more verses of Scripture. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because this is how the Holy Spirit's leading me. Y'all here on purpose today. Amen? You came here today by divine appointment. You only think that you get up and said, I'm going to go down there today, see what's going on. The Holy Ghost drew you here. Amen? Jesus said, no man can come to the Father unless I draw him. You were drawn here today to hear this today because God's got some goodness he wants to manifest in your life. But there's something you need to know first. You need to know about the glory, what it is, how it manifests, how to recognize it, and what to expect when it appears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 26, if you would, please. I know something about that dazzling, brilliant glory, and I'm going to tell you a little something about it today, but not right now. We're going to look at some scripture here first, amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you in a minute here about it. Amen. But I want you to look at this one more verse with me. Amen. Hallelujah. You there? 26:13, here he is now in Caesarea, given the same testimony of what happened to him on the road to Damascus before King Agrippa. In verse 13, he said, "At midday, O King Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven." Barbara, you open that in your Amplified Bible. "Above the brightness of the sun." You see how bright that is? He said it's above the brightness of the sun. I've been in that brightness. I'm going to tell you about it, but not right now. "Above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them who journeyed with me." What verse did I just read?
13.
"While on the road at midday, O King, I saw a light from heaven surpassing the brightness of the sun, flashing." Please say flashing. Flashing. Say flashing. "Flashing round about me." I've been in that flashing light. I'm going to tell you about it here in a minute, but not right now. Amen. I'm going to tell you something first, and I want you to know that the glory is not always visible. Oftentimes it is, but it doesn't have to be for God to manifest in our midst. Amen. Now, you listen to what I'm saying up here because you don't want to miss this. Amen. You know my testimony. 28 years ago, when I was 28 years old, I'm 56 now, amen, and I'm racing toward the Bema judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to spend eternity based upon how effectively I obeyed God and fulfilled the Great Commission while I was here, and guess what? So are you. You're here on probation, amen, and when I point one finger at you, I'm pointing three at me, amen, hallelujah. Bound by drugs and alcohol, listen, I can't give you the whole testimony. But a couple of months back, I gave you a big piece of it on this CD call. Tell them what I told you. It's over here on the table. If you want to hear more about it, you read how the Holy Spirit of God appeared to me way back yonder. I won't go into the details that are on this right now. I want to encourage you, if you haven't read my testimony, and I'm not boasting in anything but what God has done, I want you to please go and read it so you can see a real life manifestation of the glory of God in the 20th century. There's been others, but I had one. I know what I'm talking about when I talk about the glory. I am a miraculous manifestation of God's glory. Bound by drugs and alcohol, 28 years old. Cocaine, amphetamines, speedballs, alcohol, beer, liquor, you name it, amen? I was addicted and I couldn't get free. And I prayed, to make a long story short, with a TV evangelist who told me, "If you're thinking God's mad at you because you're all messed up in drugs and alcohol, you're wrong. You need to know that God loves you. And if you'll give Him your life, He'll set you free." I said, "If that's true, God, if you'll set me free, I'll give you my life." And I had that giant hand come on my head. You need to read it on the website, johnhamelministries.org. God is no respecter of persons. Whatever you need today, whatever you need to be rid of, God wants to help you like He helped me. Amen. That giant hand came on my head and on the laid itself on my hand, three times as big as my hand, at least on the top of my head. I jumped up and ran all through the house, making sure the doors and windows were locked. I was loaded on cocaine, $1,000 of cocaine in my blood system. Checked every door and window in the house I was locked in. Who's messing with me and touching me on the head? I laid down again, figured whoever the intruder was gone. Maybe I imagined it. That hand came on my head for a third time, three times at least as big as my hand. I jumped up, went, I turned around, who's doing that to me, who's messing with my mind? All through the house, every door, every window, every closet, under every bed, I'm there alone. And then the third time it came again, I laid back down on the sofa, high as a kite. That hand came on my head the third time, only this time, something like hot, liquid love, like honey love, came out of that giant hand, poured into my body. It was the glory of God. Poured into my body, down into my fingertips and my toe tips. I was down to about 115, 118 pounds. I had lost so much weight from drugs and alcohol. I wasn't eating solid food anymore, except for Entenmann's chocolate donuts. That's all I would eat, day in and day out. I had been locked in the house for days alone, snorting cocaine and drinking beer. That hand came on me the third time, and that hot liquid love came right down into my fingertips, down into my toes, and I fell into a weighty stupor like Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Only those boys were only slain for one day, those three boys. This one boy was slain for 3 days. For 3 days I was slain in the Spirit. I didn't dream. I didn't eat. I didn't drink. I didn't make any pit stops. I didn't change positions. I do not believe I was breathing. And when I came to 3 days later, I was supernaturally delivered from drug and alcohol addiction. But there was no glory cloud. There was no dazzling brilliance. There was no smoke. There was no vapor. But that was a supernatural manifestation of the glory, because it was a supernatural manifestation of the goodness of God. And God's glory is God's goodness. And God's glory is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sent that angel to me and supernaturally delivered me. God still does things like that today. Amen. You go read that on my website if you want to see some more details. Amen. Now you remember how Paul was arrested by a bright light. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, on the road to Damascus. Well, I encountered that bright light, that same bright light, that same dazzling, brilliant glory, that same luminous glory, 6 months later, after I had been delivered from drug and alcohol addiction. I had made some new Christian friends. That was an oddity for me. Christian friends? I don't want Christian friends. They didn't party. Amen? Now, God gave me new desires. He changed me on the inside. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's the new creation. The old has passed away and all things are new and all things are God. I had all brand new desires and God's given me brand new friends. Well, I was over Michael and Barbara Tachi's house. They were engaged in Lexington, Massachusetts to be married. And I met them in the Pewter Pot restaurant while I was sitting there reading my Bible and smoking cigarettes, because God didn't deliver me from cigarettes because I didn't ask Him to. I asked Him to deliver me from drugs and alcohol. He delivered me from cigarettes 4 years later. And I said, why didn't you deliver me from cigarettes 4 years ago when you delivered me from drugs and alcohol? He said, because you didn't ask me to. You asked me to deliver you from drugs and alcohol. That would have been a violation of your free will. And I went, oh, I should have had a V8. I never thought of that. It would have been a violation of my free will. He could have done it and I never would have known it. But he'd have known it, and He's a God of integrity. And when I finally asked Him to deliver me from cigarettes, He did just that in a different way. But I won't go into that today. So I'm at the Pewter Pot restaurant 6 months after having this supernatural experience, being slain in the Spirit in my living room for 3 days. Cape Cod is blessed. And I say this in a spirit of humility, that Barbara and I got sent here. Because I just know that what He's done for me is for the sake and the benefit of somebody else, not me. It's you. It's to benefit you and to prosper you. 6 months later, I'm reading my Bible. This man walks up to me and goes, I see you reading your Bible. You a Christian? I said, yeah. He said, my name is Michael Tachi. And I told him my testimony, how God had just 6 months ago delivered me from drugs and alcohol. He invited me to his fiance's house. They were playing in playing guitars and singing in this oddball language. I said, what is that? He said, it's tongues. Ask God. He'll give it to you. It's a gift. What is that, Michael? He said, I said, it's tongues. Ask God. It's a gift. He'll give it to you. I jumped up, put my jacket on that December night, went out into the cold, marched myself. I was living in Lexington on the other side of downtown from where they were living. I walked through that parking lot all the way to my place with my coat wrapped all around me, my cigarette in my mouth, and saying, God, if that's you, I got to have it. God, if that's you, I got to have it. God, 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 if that's you, I got to have that. Up the stairs, I marched to number 6 Gray Street, Lexington, Massachusetts, 02421. And I went up into my attic prayer room in that little housing thing that I was staying in up there. And I opened up the door. And there it was. The same glory when I opened up that door. The same glory. The same dazzling, brilliant white light that guided Israel. That guided Moses. That appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. That appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. Was in that room. It flashed when I opened up that door. It knocked me flat on my face. I don't even remember putting my hands out to catch myself. Down on the floor I went as that dazzling brilliance filled that room. And I began to pray profusely, in other tongues. I know that glory. I've been in that glory. That's a supernatural way to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. I got caught up in that cloud, in that room, in that glory. For how long? I don't even know. All I know is I woke up midday the next day in my bed, and I don't know how in the world I got there. And ever since that, I've had no problem at all. Bob will tell you, praying in tongues every day of my life. It's been such a tool, such a key. Hallelujah. I know that glory. I know that glory. I said, I know that glory. And that glory will come here to Cape Cod. It will come here to the gathering at Cape Cod as we study the glory. Believe for the glory. Expect the glory. Amen. I've seen the glory in manifestation. Hallelujah. I could tell you stories. I was at a full gospel businessman's meeting one time, listening to the testimony of a bulldozer salesman in Las Vegas, Nevada. A bulldozer salesman who died of a heart attack while they were putting a shunt in his heart. God wants me to tell you this little story right now, so I'm going to tell it to you. Amen. He was having a shunt put in his heart, and as he laid there on the table in California, he had a heart attack and he died. So they had gone in. You know how they go in through your thigh, your inner thigh, and they put that thing up into your heart, put that shunt in there, blow it up. He had a heart attack and he died, so they pulled the thing out. They pulled the thing out, called it on the table beside him, and turned around. The two doctors who were working on him had obviously dismissed the nurses that were assisting them, and they were over here on the counter in the operating room filling out his death certificate. He was dead. He came to on the operating table, and he said, there was a sheet on my face, so I pulled it down, and I thought the anesthesia wore off. And they don't know I'm conscious, and they're over there doing the paperwork, getting ready to operate on me. He didn't know they already had, and he died. And he said, all of a sudden, I felt something trickling on my leg. So I sat up and I looked at it, and it was blood gushing out of a hole in my leg. And I said to the two men standing over there, hey, I'm bleeding! And he said, they both just practically hit the ceiling and turned around and saw him over there, sitting up there smiling at him with blood gushing out of his leg. Well, they came and they stopped the bleeding, and they gave documentation that man was legally, literally dead. He had been dead 10 or 15 minutes. And he came back to life and started, his blood started pumping again. His heart started pumping again. Well, I was listening to his testimony, and he had a gift to discern when the glory was present. He could stand in a room and say, the glory's over you right now, the manifest power of God, and people would fall under the power of God when he would say that. There was a young boy standing over there, obviously skeptical, on the wall, watching him minister as we're all sitting at the table. And he said, young man, the glory of God is upon your life right now. That man was 20 or 22 years old. He busted out laughing hysterically. Every body gestation rolled into that laughter. He busted out laughing hysterically and continued to laugh hysterically for the remainder of that service, no less than 30, 45 minutes, without exaggeration. He laughed against that wall hysterically the whole time in absolute silence. Not a sound came out of him. He was laughing hysterically, and the Holy Ghost, the glory was upon him. You could look at his face and you'd say, where's the sound? This doesn't make any sense. He was laughing hysterically. There was a man beside him holding him up so he wouldn't get on the wall. He was so hysterical, not a sound came out of his body. Isn't that supernatural? Well, I've seen the glory in manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. I was delivered and saved supernaturally by an invisible manifestation of the glory in my living room when I was delivered from drugs and alcohol. 6 months later, I opened up the door to my prayer room and the glory of God flashed in there, even as Paul said, it flashed upon. It was completely blinding. I got caught up in it. What made me tell them that story? Oh, I said to Barbara last night as I was thinking about it, I said, the poor guy next door to me, when the glory hit me, there was another guy who lived on the other side of the wall up there. And it's just an old, 100-year-old house. The walls weren't properly insulated. And I said, poor guy. I don't know how long I prayed in tongues in there. Poor guy laying in bed listening to me all night. Or she said to me, or maybe he didn't hear you at all, like that guy who laughed in hysteria in Las Vegas that time. Could have been he didn't hear a thing. All I know is I was caught up in that glory. Back to Las Vegas, if I may, and I'll close with this little story. Amen. Go in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 18. Hallelujah. What are we talking about in here this morning? I've seen the glory and manifestation. I have had no less than 10 visitations of angels. I'm not boasting. I am telling you, there's the glory realm and it manifests in this realm. Barbara has now been with me when I've seen angels. Up until we moved to Cape Cod, it was something I've experienced on my own. And she had to just believe it. Until Dowsers Beach in Austerville, Massachusetts, on March 13th and March 15th, when the two angels of God came out of the heavenlies and appeared to us. I've seen Jesus, my brother and sister. On three different occasions, Jesus Christ has manifested himself to me. There is a glory realm. I'm not special. If there's anything special about me, it's special ignorance. God called me so that I couldn't glory in his presence. The Bible says that God has called me and ordained me for the things that he has because I'm foolish, weak, base, and despised. I've experienced the glory. You can experience the glory. God is the God of the supernatural. He wants to help you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to heal you. He wants to manifest his glory on this Cape, in this state, in this country. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God within me. Contrary to everything we're hearing on the news and the media, the television, the newspaper, and the internet, America is about to see her finest hour. God is about to manifest in this country. Well, remember you heard it here. Amen. And I keep on saying it, don't I? And I'll keep on saying it because I was watching CNN about 3 years ago, looking at one guy running America down on CNN, going out to the nations of the world, running his own country down. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke into my spirit, and I turned and said to Barbara, America is about to see her finest hour. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're not moved by what we hear, what we see. We're moved by the Word of God. It's glory time. It's revival time in this country. Amen. Always when America's hit a rock bottom low and cried out to God, God showed up with his glory. You ought to go study the healing revival between 1947 and 1958 in this country and the charismatic movement that we're living in today that came out of that voice of healing. Go put in your computer, voice of healing, 1947 to 1958, and read about what happened in this country over that 15-year period, whatever it was, that has turned into the present-day Word of Faith charismatic revival. It happened in your lifetime, and some of you don't even know that it happened. But this time when it happens, you will know, because you're going to be right in the middle of it if you go to this church, because my constant prayer is to God, is God, put us right in the middle of whatever you're doing in the earth. Put us right in the middle of it, Father. I was passing out tracts. In Las Vegas, Nevada, one time, I went to a Bible school in the church there. And I was passing out tracts one night in front of the Holiday Inn on Las Vegas Boulevard. We've preached in more Holiday Inns, conducted Holiday Inns, so I call it the Holy Day Inn. I'm out front there, passing out tracts with a friend of mine who's now an evangelist out of Southern California. And at least, to the best of my recollection, 4 armed guards, the head of security and at least 3, maybe 4 other guards with him, came out, and they always like to flash their stuff, you know. They're armed, and they're coming after us, putting the jackets back, showing us, you know. I got something you ain't got, and I'm looking, thinking, I got something you ain't got. You might not want to push this too far. Amen. Come with me, he said to me and Al. So we went with them. Down the alley, they took us where the dumpster is, down the side in the back of the Holiday Inn there on Las Vegas Boulevard. Put Al and myself up against the wall. Pushed us against the wall. Pushed us against the wall. And I'm thinking, what in the world? He said, who do you think you are telling people not to come into my casino? I never told anybody a word. I was walking down the street, because you can't stand still passing out tracks. You got to be moving, and you can't talk to people. So, okay, that's what I was doing. Who are you to tell people not to come into my casino? I opened up my mouth. And I said to him, do you. Those are the only 2 words. You all know this story. We're talking about the glory. I'm getting us all on the same page here because the glory's coming to Cape Cod. The glory's here on Cape Cod. We're going to see greater manifestations of the glory here on Cape Cod. I said, do you. That's all I said to him. And the power of God hit him in the gut, picked him up off the ground, folded him like a pair of calipers, threw him backwards. Literally, his feet came off the ground. His head came forward. He went like an angle bracket into the three or four people behind him, fell down on the ground, and they had to grab him and prop him and hold him up. And he looked at me and he said, "Do anything you want. Just stay out of my casino." I said, "Right on. Amen. Holland, can I get your beverage while I'm out?" And they went walking away like Chip and Dale, just like they couldn't believe what they had experienced. And I just stood there like I do things like that all the time. And they were gone. I looked at Alan and I said, "Did you see that?" He said, "I did." Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 18, if you would. That was a manifestation of glory. No dazzling light, but it was a manifestation of God's goodness and God's protection because I was doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Are you there in John 18? You getting anything out of this today? Oh, the glory of God's going to hit. It's going to hit. I know that glory. John 18:3, Judas then, having received a band of men, that's actually 600 men, and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons to get Jesus. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he said unto them, "I am he," all 600 fell backwards to the ground by a manifestation of God's power, God's glory, and God's goodness. Jesus could have killed all of those people right then and there with his power. He could have killed them all. It just goes to show you, John chapter 10, 18. No man took his life from him. He laid it down willingly. God gave him power to lay it down, and God gave him power to take it up again. And what was that power? It was the living quantity that the Bible calls the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the goodness of God and manifestation. Amen. Let's stand up and praise God for His glory. Amen. The glory of God. God's glory is about to blow across this nation, across our states, across our cities and our communities. And it's going to change the life of every person it touches. Every person who'll believe. Amen. And if we'll come together, if we'll be quick to forgive, quick to repent, quick to believe, quick to stay in faith, the glory of God will come into our lives, amen, and bring absolute change, radical change, to all who stay in position to receive it. Say, no strife.
No strife.
No gossip.
No gossip.
No backbiting.
No backbiting.
No strife.
No strife.
No gossip.
No gossip.
No backbiting. See, James chapter 3:16 says, where there's bitter envy and strife, there's confusion and nothing but evil works. See, strife is probably the biggest enemy to the glory. We got to stay out of strife around here. We got to forgive. Amen. We got to walk in love. Amen. So I want to encourage you to continue to come out, hear about the glory on Sundays. Amen. I've had encounters with God. I haven't told you one-tenth here today of the things I've seen God do in my life and around my life. Amen. The glory's coming. It's coming to you, and it's coming to me. Let's praise Him for it. Timothy said in 1 Timothy 2:8, he said, "I will that men and women pray or praise everywhere, lifting holy hands without wrath and without doubt." You just lift your hands and praise Him, if you would, before we dismiss here today. We're going to sing. We're going to dismiss. Father, give us revelation of Your glory. We want to know about the glory. We want to flow in the glory. We want to receive from the glory. We want to be conduits of the glory, Father. Everyone say, "Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Use me.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord. Use me." Oh, if there's anything in your life, any sin in your life you need to get rid of, I encourage you, get it out. Get it out, because revival's coming. I keep saying it's coming, and every time I say that, I get corrected on the inside. It's here. Say, it's here. Say, the glory's here. I receive the glory.